Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
Let me pray. Oh, no, before I do, I want to mention I got two paintings here today. Usually, we are shaped. So these are a series of two paintings connected to a series of four that are always out in the commons that are pieces my wife painted years ago based on the four devotions in Acts 2:42. So after the Holy Spirit comes and fills all the followers of Jesus, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And it's this beautiful, simple explanation of these four means of grace, really, that the Spirit has called the church to devote ourselves to continually, that God will meet us in his word, that God will meet us in our fellowship, that God will meet us in prayer, that God will meet us as we share in the Lord's Supper. And normally, a Sunday morning like this here is shaped by some study of scripture, which I will give us a bit of a meditation on God's word this morning. But really, we're going to be practicing some hospitality today and sharing fellowship with other brothers and sisters across the world, and we'll get into that. But I trust that this is part of our ministry. It's part of God's ministry among us. It matters today. So we got some special other shoes with us today that aren't usually with us. So let me pray. Jesus, thank you for your church. Thank you that you've chosen and you call ordinary people. And you invite our shoes into the gathering, and you, by your grace, make us a part of your life and your life on earth today. And we thank you that you have bound us together with sisters and brothers across the globe today, that we, as we gather like this, that there are so many others in so many other places, in bigger spaces and smaller places and living rooms all across this world today, seeking you, coming together to build one another up in you, sharing the gifts of the Spirit that you've given us, sharing our vulnerabilities and brokenness through which you make yourself known. And so we ask today, as we engage in a unique way, that you would meet us and lead us to your tenderness and your mercy and your grace. Amen. In a few minutes, we're going to fill these five chairs, but I will start to set the table for us. If you read the email, at the end of the email every week, there's a little note that says what's going to happen on Sunday. And this week, I did not get a chance to clarify the plan. So what was said in there was wonderful, but not true. So I won't be preaching from Luke today. As a church seeking to follow Jesus, we are compelled by a grand and simple vision, and that is life with God for the world. That's what Jesus is after. That was what God is seeking. He is seeking life for the world. And that is something, historically, down through the 50 years of Lambert's life, it's been, our mission statement used to say, in Gordon Head, Victoria, and the world. So that's where we are. It's where each of us lives. It's an ordinary, everyday thing in the places God has put us. But at times, it also means bound up with some other place, another part of the world, and some other brothers and sisters and what they're doing with their lives. And so, as one expression of this, over 2 years ago, in the sovereign, surprising purposes of God, we as a church came into conversation with, unexpectedly, I would say, introduced to and brought into relationship with the work of Beginning of Life Ministries in Chisinau, Moldova, a holistic Christian relief and development agency that exists, in their own words, to restore God's original intent for harmonious and holistic personal development and its manifestation in society. That's a simple, well, it's a pregnant sentence. There is so much there that Beginning of Life Ministry seeks to live out for the good of their city, for the good of their country. We'll see a video from them in a few minutes. This past July, many of us know, five from among us, can I invite you to stand? Lisa, Luke, Alyssa, Brenda, and Kenzie is out. You can sit back down. Thank you, friends. And Kenzie Watson, our children's pastor, had the opportunity and responsibility to travel across the world to Moldova to spend some time with the leaders of Beginning of Life Ministry. If you hunt around, you can see each of them. Luke shows up in a couple spots. Got special notice here. Alyssa's back there. Kenzie, Brenda. And I don't know what's going on here, but that's cool. I don't know if that was on purpose, if his head was actually covered in cotton candy, or it's just in front. I like cotton candy. And they went on our behalf with four purposes in mind for this journey. One, to build relationships with the Beginning of Life staff, volunteers, and those they serve. Second, to learn from them and gain an understanding of the ministry of Beginning of Life as we seek to discern God's invitation for us towards a potential long-term partnership with them. Third, to celebrate and encourage what God is doing in and through Beginning of Life. And fourth, to join in, to serve, to support, to partner with them in practical ways while they're on the trip. And on the Sunday we commissioned them, I think this is like July 22nd, I briefly shared two verses from Colossians that seem to describe the moment and the trip very poignantly. At the end of the letter, Paul concludes with a series of personal greetings. This is Colossians 4, 7, 8. He says these words, "Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts." Typically, when we get to that part of one of Paul's letters, we start kind of dialing out. We think the meat is done, but it's not done because the gospel is always embodied through a community. It is brought to us through others, and for them, the church in Colossae, it came to them through Paul, and it came to them through people like Tychicus and Onesimus and others that are named in his letter, and those people mattered so much to them. They weren't just the extra bits at the end. Those are the people through whom the gospel came to the Christians in Colossae. Now, we don't know Tychicus. Most of us, we don't have a picture on the wall of Tychicus as our hero, but he should be. Those quiet people through whom God uses. And so last summer, our team got to go to Moldova and in a way be a part of this. Maybe they were kind of a Tychicus to the Moldova team, the Beginning of Life team. Sharing in what God was doing. It was something of a Colossians 4, 7, and 8 journey. But even more so today, this is a Colossians 4, 7, 8 moment, as we are honored to have one of the executive director of Beginning of Life, Sergei Mikhailov, a key member of the leadership team of Beginning of Life here with us today. And I say that it's an honor to have Sergei with us, not because he is some sort of Moldovan celebrity or Christian superhero. In truth, I suspect Sergei would rather not have his face that large on our screen. But we are honored to have Sergei with us today because according to our trusted friends from Partners International, Chan Skalinder is here with us, and our team, the five of you that went last summer, Sergei is, as the Apostle Paul tells of Tychicus in Colossians 4:7, a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. And those are God's grace in you and credentials that we honor. And because of this, we are very thankful and honored to have you with us, though I suspect you don't do this for honor, our honor. And with that, we need to acknowledge that Sergei is just one person in a community that's called the Beginning of Life team, a substantial team of men and women who are all serving the least of these. Yeah, I'm sorry, that one's a little fuzzy. I didn't get as good a quality, but Sergei thankfully is tall, so he can get the back row and still stand out. But a whole team of men and women who are serving together, seeking to build bridges, to prevent exclusion and exploitation, to empower people who have been victims of a broken world, all in the name of Jesus. And I cannot imagine if their ministry disappeared, how the community of Moldova would grieve, because today and for many years, they have been the hands and feet and lips of Christ in a way that has mattered for many. If you want to check out their website, I keep putting it on the bottom corner, bol.md, Moldova. It tells the story of who they are and what they're about, their mandate, and work really well. But in the midst of it, their mission, their values, their philosophy of ministry, There is one sentence pasted right in the middle of their leadership page that strikes me as so beautiful, so honest, so humble, right in the middle of the faces and names of their primary leadership team, right? And usually we do that to say, these are our leaders, and right in the middle of it are these words: our capacity is not enough. Our resources are limited, but we put all our energy and efforts to bring hope, awakening, and transformation in the lives of individuals, families, and communities. What a beautiful and honest and inspiring commitment, inspired by the gospel, right? The good news of a God who loves the world so much that he laid down his life on the cross for the world. So in a moment, we're going to invite Sergey and with him Chan and a few members of Alyssa Morton, who was on the team, and Simon Goff, who chairs our missional engagement team, to come and have a bit of a conversation interview with Sergey. But first, we're going to share a video, and thank you, Ross.
It's a land of dramatic contrast. It is known for its wine industry and productive agricultural lands, but is also one of the poorest countries in Eastern Europe. It has the second highest rate of alcoholism in the world. High levels of poverty and the devastating effects of alcoholism over generations have eroded the family unit in Moldova. Single mothers and abandoned children are commonly left vulnerable to abuse and exploitation. Cycles of abuse are difficult to escape from and are often passed down from generation to generation. Our partner in Moldova, the Beginning of Life Ministry, is responding to this problem by providing holistic programs that help break this cycle. Alexandra is a young single mother of three. Her children are now the fourth generation to experience deep brokenness. Alexandra's mother became a single mother after she was sexually exploited by her boss. She became an alcoholic and eventually abandoned Alexandra. Alexandra now lives in a run-down clay house with her grandparents, who are both addicted to alcohol. This living arrangement is volatile and abusive, especially when her grandfather drinks to excess. Alexandra is often forced to find alternative places for her and her children to stay. She is highly vulnerable and an easy target for exploitation. Fortunately, Alexandra heard about our partner, the Beginning of Life Ministry, from another single mother who had benefited from their programs. On her first visit to receive assistance, she was assessed by the staff, who recognized that her situation required more than just financial help. She was encouraged to start coming to the Early Learning Center with her children, a program that is helping her to break the cycle of abuse and vulnerability. This ministry provides young mothers with healthy parenting models and teaches them to recognize and escape patterns of exploitation and abuse. Other programs, like an art therapy center, are available to Alexandra as she finds healing. The goal is for her and her children to experience wholeness and to become part of a loving and nurturing Christian community. Alexandra's story is one of many that is resulting in a transformed society in Moldova. Our international partner in Moldova has created a comprehensive and holistic ministry that is transforming young men and women like Alexandra and has become a model that is being replicated across the former Soviet Union and Central Asia. Would you join with Partners International by investing in this transformational work that is helping to bring real change to the youth of Moldova and is a model for training other ministries across the region?
Can I invite Sergey and Chan and Alyssa and Simon to come join me on the wobbly chairs? Do you want to actually sit on that end over there? Yep. Just spin these around, make them a little bit friendly.
Thanks for having us, first of all. It's a real pleasure to be with you again.
So a year ago, we were supposed to be sitting here together with Sergey and Chan, and you will know we were all hoping, praying for a visa to come through that never came through. And so literally 1 year ago this week, Chan came and spoke on Sergey's behalf, and I think we had a video. We'll share a link this week. It tells a bit more of the backstory of what Beginning of Life Ministries is all about. But we've just prepared a few questions that we're going to engage around, and then we'll spend some time in prayer together. So, Alyssa, I think I'll let you start.
Thanks so much for coming, Sergey, and for getting to see you again. I've been spending the last couple days trying to finish up a photo book of all of our time in Moldova. So the last couple days, I've just been immersed in some of those memories, so having you come today just feels extra special. So when you're thinking about the people and the families and the community that Beginning of Life serves, what are some of your greatest concerns right now, and what are you praying for as a community?
When we talk about Moldova, it's absolutely astonishing place, like Victoria, but without ferries and sea and access to the ocean and all that. But at the same time, there is a place where people are, the whole nation is caught in into a vicious cycle of vulnerability, of brokenness, of instability, and now with, especially after the start of war in Ukraine, we actually have felt, so families are feeling again as it was in the 90s during civil war or during these years of lacking jobs and being so poor and so unstable. Now people again are feeling the same way, and no one knows how all this story with the war will end up, and poor become even poorer, unfortunately, because all the logistics, simple things are broken down, and people feel unsafe, and again, hopeless. And we see that together with the Ukrainian refugees who are living, passing through Moldova, or staying a bit and then going somewhere else, we see that Moldovans again go together with the refugees, becoming not technically they're not refugees, they're trying to escape from the country. But this sense of hopelessness and inability to deal with brokenness internally in the family really makes people so vulnerable. And that's why it's so important to bring the gospel and bring God's word of grace to them. Changing, actually, our task is to change the perspective that they have. And I believe only God can do this.
And then kind of related to that, where do you see God specifically at work through Beginning of Life, and what are you specifically thankful for right now?
Oh, that is where to start, I would say. Good. Actually, I would start with a quite recent moment when we see God at his amazing, absolutely astonishing ability to orchestrate things in the lives of people. Especially when they run from their brokenness and fear. A couple of months ago, we had we stuck in our church mission center. I don't know why. On Friday evening, you are not supposed to be at 9 p.m. in the church, probably. But we stuck together with my wife and a couple of the team members. We stuck in the center. We're about to close down the church. And when we're going with the keys to the door, one lady pop up on a store door with her son, about 14 years old. And we ask, "Oh, who are you? Where are you coming from?" And she says, "Oh, I'm from Ukraine and I really need help." "So, but who sent you here?" And she says, "No one." In the morning, we realized from what she told us, in the morning she didn't plan to leave her house. She was living in one of the Ukrainian communities, but seeing the military drones flying over the house, she was so scared for her son. And she grabbed her things grabbed her son and run. That was her first experience out of the community, out of the country. And first time she pop up in the streets of Chisinau, 8 p.m. on Friday. Everyone preparing to have a nice weekend. And she was proposed a ride in on a taxi. But having $5 in the pocket, it's not helping. So she was sent to the public bus. And in public bus, she asked a lady who was selling tickets, do you know a place where I can have some help? And the lady said, oh yes, I know. I will help you. So come together with us. And a couple of stations after, she's saying, go out of the bus, go straight 100 meters, and on your right, it will be a church. So they will help you. It's 9 p.m. Friday evening. What a chance the church to be open and someone will be able to help. Very little, I would say. Maybe only young people can be hanging there. And that moment really struck me. And we took her and we were driving her up to the refugee camp where the team last year was serving in Balzada. And this community work, togetherness, and at the same time, amazing ability of God to orchestrate, really show how He can work out of our inability, out of our expectations. And that was amazing because, driving her, listening her story, I realized, no, this is how God reveals His amazing presence in the life of the person who doesn't really know who God is, who is that strange Jesus, and these strange Christians. This is how it works. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Sergey. Most of us didn't get the opportunity in July to come visit you. Only 5 of us did. So that means there's a fair few around the room that have little idea, really, of what it was like to go. But I wanted to put the question back to you. Excuse me. It's like, what did it mean in July, August, for our team to come and visit you?
Actually, it seems to be, just 5 people, what we can do. But you can imagine the team, the church team was 27 people, being in a critical emergency situation since the beginning of pandemic, actually. From 2020 it was ongoing. In 21 January we thought, finally it's done. But it wasn't, because war have started and refugee crisis, the biggest since World War II, you can imagine the shock that we have experienced and a lack of understanding how it will go on. And maybe we will end up changing our citizenship already 6 times in the last 100 years. But that really, the team was actually so tired, so exhausted. And when you have 5 people who are energized, who are so passionate, and they are burning, in their eyes it's so much fire, let's do something. And the team is, okay. let's. And actually, they joined the same ministry action that we have been doing for all these years. But it meant that someone else put her shoulder, to the team. And this passionate heart and this absolute new experience, a new portion of energy, and new perspective, and the love, and carefulness, careful heart, actually inspires the team. We can do more. Let's do more. Let's do more birdhouses. For the I didn't know that only Luke has experience in birdhouse. I wasn't, so for me it was also a surprise. But having these watching, I was observing and being caught in the routine of moving back and forth. Actually, I realized watching the team communicating with your team and our team, and then watching kids being so amused and happy of really joking about all these Canadians. They don't understand Romanian. They learn so many Russian words, but we don't understand them. this is the little of confusion. Yeah, finally learn these strange words, and then it doesn't help. But watching the eyes of these kids and these teens and church team, I realized, oh, this is the inspiration Paul is talking about. When someone is coming, said, no, we are actually acting not out of our strong part. We are acting out of our own brokenness, out of our own vulnerability. And this reminds us that we are so dependent of God's strength. And this probably was so strong, but your team, who was sharing own vulnerability, own brokenness. And you're like, oh, we are on the same page. We share the same brokenness. But we act in the name of Jesus. And this changed everything. Sometimes we need to be someone to remind us about this. That God is still in power. He's still in control. He's so strong. And we're not. We cannot change anything, actually. Yeah, so this is what means for us to have your team. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for that very, honest response. It's like that was very much... That was in the past, in July, and as Scott was saying at the front end, it's like part of the team's discernment whilst they were there was, is there a way that we as a community here and you as a community there, we can actually form a long-term partnership? So this is like in the now and into the future as well. And so they did come back, and their unanimous proposal to the church was, yeah, it's like we learned so much, we experienced so much, we feel that this team has so much to show us. Was a huge thing that I heard back from the team. And so we took this up, we took this to the leadership of the church and here, and the church said, yes. It's like we want to move this beyond just an Advent project at the beginning of the Ukraine war. We want to move this beyond just sending a trip there to do what they can, bring what energy they can. But we want to turn this into something longer term. So as we, and maybe Sergey and Chan, as we look towards a long-term partnership, it's like what does that mean to you, to your team, to Partners International? It's like, what does that look like? Why does that matter?
Yeah, again, coming of the clear understanding, we cannot do it. The task of really bringing transformation into the nation, breaking down the vicious cycle of this brokenness, that is running on and on for generations. It's way too big task for a church of 150 people and the staff team of 27 people. It's way bigger than we can handle. That's why together we can do more. At the same time, I believe that this ability to share, ability to see what is going on around. And what really struck me about Lambrecht or Tin Church is actually ability to watch in own neighborhood, watch around and see, oh, how we can step and be present as a representatives of Jesus in this community and bring some healing into this. And for this, we need sharing. Sharing, mostly it's about, resources, but it's not. Sharing mutual vulnerability. It means that we can pray about each other, which is so strong. Only God can do this. And at the same time, this moment of learning, because I, being in Canada for first time for 1 month, actually, I was learning so much and realizing so good insights are done by people who are serving in the community. They're watching how God is active. So I think it can be mutual sharing and learning that can help to strengthen both of us, both our churches. And in this sense, Partners International, being all the time strengthening the local partners with this idea is so strong. And in three, we can do much more.
Yeah. So there's a key word he was saying, it was mutual. The mutuality of what we do we're not the above benefactor. We are partners with these guys, as you are partners with them. And it's a mutuality that's shared across context and culture into what you're doing here that can be applied there, and what they're doing there, which can be applied here. We learn from one another, and we grow with one another, and we share with one another our resources, our learnings, our context, and the things that are successful, the things that we fail at, and the things that we think can mutually benefit one another.
I know we, especially the team that went, and the missional team, we wish we could sit here for an hour. After the service, for anyone that wants to ask more questions, Brenda Lee will be rallying folks in the cafe for about a half an hour follow-up to ask some more detailed questions. But one more question I want to ask now. Some of you will know, and some of you did pray over this last season for Sergei and his family, because his daughter has been facing a critical health issue and we've been praying for a surgery. And we knew that at one point the surgery was supposed to happen, and then because of some complications had to be deferred, and then I think maybe happened again. And you and your wife have had three children, and you've had a complicated journey in that already. So tell us where things are today and how we can pray for you. And then we're going to spend a few minutes in prayer.
Yeah, so at the moment, we expect at the end of March to have a surgery. So Emma, we found out just by accident that she has kind of tumor in her shoulder. And doctors are not able yet to say what it is. They just say, oh, we first cut and then find out. And you can imagine, in 2019 when our son Emil was diagnosed with brain cancer, that was very unexpected, the exploration and journey. And he passed away after 2 months of critical, very fast trials to make something at least. But this experience really, first of all, I need to admit, as I was telling to John, I'm ready, because I already was going through that once, and I'm not ready at all. And now my family is not ready to hear again this statement, oh, sorry, you have cancer. This terrible experience for any person. And first of all, I was realizing I don't want this. I'm scared of this. And at the same time, I believe God can do more than I expect. And I still believe that God, who has given his son and was watching him on the cross and wasn't stopping these people can do something so good in our life. Even through leading us through that again, we don't know. We hope not to hear this, but if we will, we totally believe that God is so good. And this is the moment that we totally submit, surrender to God. We feel surrendered, like in the song, but we are surrendered by God. Because He can lead and use our brokenness. He was using our brokenness after death of Emil, serving broken mothers who have their sick children, serving refugees who lost someone. Yeah, just recently we received the news that one of the girls, Dina, lost her father on the front line. She's in Kitchener with her mom, and her father is dead. And it's good that she's with the team who understands. We are acting out of our weakness in order God to show how powerful and good He is. And the only thing when you cannot stop the storm is actually to trust that God will keep your small boat through the storm. And I'm really grateful to the church, to each of you, for really taking time and prayer, asking God to step into this, leading our family, our team through all this. Because sometimes it seems to be, it's just prayer. No, it's a prayer to the Almighty God, and this is a different. And I believe that God can use this weakness, use this, our fears, to strengthen someone else. And I was grateful for me to see an email from you saying, what do you need right now? So we can step into this and help. Let us know. We don't know yet. But the action, the serving heart, for us means more than action. Because the readiness to strengthen, me personally, my family, and our team is so, so precious. So thank you, church.
Sergey, can you tell us the names of your family, your wife?
My wife, I have only wife. Yeah, this joke is all the time works. Yeah, I realized that in Central Asia, this joke can be not a joke. Yes. better not say it. My wife is her name is Galina.
Galina. Okay.
Yeah, and Emma is the oldest. She's 15, and Elena, she's 12.
Hmm. Yeah. All right, friends, I want you to just put your microphone down, and I'd love just to have Sergey come and stand here. I want to invite Lisa and Brenda and Luke to come on up, and our missional engagement team. I want to invite the whole room to stand together. Those that are on the missional engagement team, you can come up. I'd love to ask us to lift up a hand. If your arm fails, that's okay, put it down. But let's just, like, as a symbol of we are here, I want to read some words to us, and we're going to pray for a few minutes together. So when our team went, they brought a letter with them from Lambrick. And in the midst of it, it said, "Though we live on the other side of the world, we believe that God has brought us together, that you are our brothers and sisters, and that we are called to celebrate what God is doing among you and through you, to honor your sacrifice and pray for your fruitfulness." Sergey has shared with us about his family, and yet he's also acknowledged that pretty much everyone they're serving is someone who's carrying this kind of grief, this kind of trauma, this ache, And they are a fragile people who, as it says on the screen, our capacity is not enough. Our resources are limited. But Jesus is alive. And he is present by his Spirit. And he is at work through these people, as he is among us. And so we want to pray for that. So let's pray together. Let's say our amens. Not all of it will be on the mic, but we'll just lift up our voices.
Team in Moldova at the beginning of life, Lord. Thank you for where you've led them from the beginning to recognize that there's brokenness and there's a need in Moldova. And God, that you've raised them up to serve that country, Lord, and to honor you in doing so. And so we lift them up to you, Lord, and we pray that you would continue to give them wisdom, your guidance, and your strength to continue this very, very difficult work. Just pray that you'd give them open hearts to continue to draw closer to you, Lord, so that they may gain their strength from you and that your Spirit would just move mightily within them. And so we ask, Lord, for a great work to continue there, Lord, and that you would transform their nation. You transform them person by person, Lord. You are watching them, and you know each person. You know what their needs are. And so, we just ask that you would come and that you would meet them as they come to the doors and they knock on the doors of beginning of life. God, you meet them there. We just praise and thank you for Sergey, for Yulia, and for all the others that have been a part of starting beginning of life and that will continue to grow that ministry, to change it to how you lead them. So I just pray that you continue to give them your insight, your love, your grace, and your mercy be poured down on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
We ask for your continued encouragement in their hearts where they feel weak, that you are present, that you are active, that the cross still means life today by your Spirit. And we ask, God, that you would continue to anoint this team with love and kindness and compassion toward one another, for Sergei's partnership with Vladimir and the rest of the executive leadership team. Would you give them great love for each other, that they would cheer each other on, they would give each other room to feel weak. Lord, we lift up Sergei and his wife and his family in these days, and as they walk with Emma towards the surgery, Jesus, we ask that you would come and meet them in your compassion as you have met so many others. Lord, we thank you that you've been present through the years with them, through all the grief they've carried and the loss of their son. We thank you for your mercy and kindness in who you are, and we ask, Jesus, that you would come and meet them. As they pray, as they hold their daughter before you, we ask that you would preserve her life, that you would rob her of this tumor, Lord. You would come, Jesus, and restore her and give her many days of life, God. We ask for your mercy and kindness. And we ask that you would continue to encourage this team, Lord, where we reach out to them and pray for them, where we are able to visit with them and be in partnership and friendship, Lord, and with others as well who will come alongside and are in partnership with Beginning of Life Ministry. Would you, God, continue to fill their nets and to give them the partners they need to steward what you are doing and the needs before them? We thank you for the great privilege of sharing this morning with Sergey and Chan, and we ask your blessing on them and on one another. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. Sergey, thank you for coming, standing on our shores. Have you been to the ocean yet?
No.
No? Oh, we got to get you there. If anyone wants to follow after the service, we'll be down in a moment. And if you want, in about 5 minutes, Sergey and Chan, hosted by Brenda, will be in the cafe and just have a chance to ask some further questions, tell a bit more story. We look forward to worshiping with you this coming week, Good Friday at North Douglas Church, or we'll see you here Sunday. Go in Christ, friends. Thank you for being with us.